Certified financial planner Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his regular Monday morning analysis of the business and financial news. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. Good morning. I wish you best luck with Pledge, and thank you for Curtis's kind words there. I hope you bring it to a satisfactory conclusion.
Well, thank you. Well, we understand that investor sentiment is dour despite the best September in, what, some 70 years on stock markets?
It's kind of funny, isn't it? The calendar has changed, of course, to October. Political signs are up everywhere. The weather has turned, and acorns are underfoot everywhere. But the only thing that stayed the same is how pensive and anxious investors profess to be these days. As you mentioned, all this despite the best September stock performance in 70 years. Yes, the S&P 500 was up almost 9% for the month, pushing the average back into the black for 2010. Wayne, I'm going to introduce a new word for you today. Markets climbed the proverbial wall of worry all month as many investors greeted each climb with either apathy or disdain. The manufacturing index and consumer confidence were better than expected this month, but still not great. Some market technicians actually think in a contrarian way that it's healthy and productive to have so many people still pessimistic these days. And it would not be a surprise now to see a little cooling off and maybe a move higher before the midterms elections, which are in less than a month. There's very little news this morning except for the fact that the French pharmaceutical company Sanofi Aventis is making a hostile takeover bid for U.S.-based Genzyme. The bid is reportedly for about $18 billion. So not a lot of hard news today, Wayne.
Well, the jobs report for September will be out on Friday, and everyone will be looking at that, particularly with the elections pending.
Yeah.
What do most economists expect?
Well, this is a big one this week, Wayne. The September jobs report, as you mentioned, will be coming out Friday, and it always is sort of a lightning rod type of report. The consensus this time is for the private sector to have produced somewhere around 80 to 100,000 new jobs for the month, and with the government still shedding part-time census workers, the net number is likely to show actually very little change. Thus, the unemployment rate is very likely to stay around the 9.7% level. This report is taking on additional meaning this week because it's likely to have a direct impact on the Federal Reserve's next policy-making decisions. Basically, Wayne, the assumption on Wall Street now is that the Fed is poised to take more action to jumpstart the economic recovery unless they get knock-your-socks-off good news. And nobody expects knock-your-socks-off good news this week or this month. So it's looking like in the Fed's next meeting, which ironically takes place the day after the congressional elections, it's very likely that the Fed is going to launch another round of stimulus, what is being called QE2 or quantitative easing number two. We now know that the Fed can't lower short-term rates anymore since they're essentially zero, but what they can do is openly purchase U.S. Treasury bills and bonds so that their price goes higher and their yields go down. Wall Street and the rest of the world have been sensing this lack of confidence for several weeks, which is why you're seeing the U.S. dollar go down again and oil going up quickly. So the big question is, why is the Fed doing this? Why are they doing this another round of stimulus? It's very simple. Two main reasons in addition to basically keeping rates low. They want to, number one, dampen deflation, which can be worse than inflation. And number two, they want to stimulate consumer spending. So it's unlikely that the QE2 or this new round of stimulus is going to do much to help fix the two real big problems, which are housing and unemployment.
We have about a minute left. Define deflation for us. What is that exactly?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because it is, it's not an easily understood term. I think most people understand inflation somewhat better than deflation because inflation, you can kind of see and feel prices going higher. But in deflation, kind of stagnant conditions prevail. There's a particularly good article in the Wall Street Journal this weekend which described several strategies that investors could pursue if they believe deflation is here for a while. The strategies included buying high dividend paying stocks and those that can raise their dividend and have done so historically, buying convertible bonds, which allows you to move back and forth between and among different strategies. Buying what are called high yield bonds, which are, you know, can be of lower to middle quality. And also buying what are called floating rate bank bonds in case rates rise. But deflation is essentially when more and more people are producing more and more products for lower and lower prices. So it's a very insidious sort of financial problem.
Just quickly, what are people expecting from the earnings reports that start coming out this week?
Yep, that's later this week, the third quarter earnings reports. They're expecting somewhat slower results from the prior quarter, which were really quite good. More importantly, though, Wayne, they're expecting CEOs to be very cautious in their guidance for the next quarter. They're not expecting a lot of people to come out and boldly proclaim that things are going straight up. Many corporations still retain a lot of cash on hand, looking to make acquisitions or looking to make stock buybacks.
All right. Thanks very much to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management. And, Brian, I'll talk to you next Monday.
Have a good day, Wayne.
Thank you, Brian.